Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Back in the day, tens of thousands of people would flock to Sacramento over Memorial Day for 3 days of live jazz. The Sacramento Music Festival, which was previously known as the Old Sacramento Dixieland Jazz Jubilee, was first held in 1974. But after more than four decades, the festival sunsetted in 2017. Since then, finding live music, especially jazz, has become more and more difficult as venues have a tough time navigating the permitting process. Mayor Daryl Steinberg says he wants to change that and make Sacramento the music capital of the West. But until that happens, there are a handful of businesses that are starting to see the value in live entertainment again, like jazz, and trying to revive the city's music scene. Joining us today are Kathy Casinos, a music journalist who wrote about how businesses are starting to make space for live jazz, and Joseph Gilman, a well-known musician and businessman here in Sacramento who is helping spearhead this effort. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Kathy. Okay, Joseph, you're a longtime musician here in Sacramento. You also have a restaurant, Twin Lotus Thai, where you also have live music. So you're familiar with the state of music, especially jazz, here in Sacramento. How would you characterize it?
Many great musicians here, especially jazz musicians, but musicians of all kinds, live here in Sacramento and in the region and are looking forward to playing. We also have quite an extensive audience of people who are interested in going out and listening to live music in an intimate venue, in a larger venue, and supporting the arts and supporting musicians and music events that we have here.
You know that the mayor wants to make the permitting process easier to allow for more venue space. What have the challenges been in recent years to making that a reality?
I can only go back about 18 months to when we opened up the restaurant. Certainly getting a permit for live music in a restaurant was not an easy process. It was a lengthy process. It just takes an awful lot of time. There's lots of, you know, permitting that you have to go through. There's lots of paperwork that you have to go through. There's lots of trips you have to make downtown and different agencies and things like that. You know, there's different inspections that have to go. It's quite extensive and it just takes a long time. So it is a challenge.
Mm. Well, Kathy, your article, which was recently published in SAC News and Review, among other outlets, it focused on businesses like Joseph's that are making space now for live jazz specifically. What prompted you to dive into this?
Well, I dove into the topic of jazz primarily because it had occurred to me that Sacramento, at least as far as I know, does not have a dedicated jazz club. And by that, I mean a club that devotes itself exclusively to jazz. And I found that a little surprising. Partly because of what you mentioned at the start of the show, that we used to have this massive jazz festival. So obviously there is an interest in jazz here in this town. And as Joe mentioned, too, we have so many fantastic performers available to play that music. And so I thought it was a little odd that we didn't have such a club in town. So I decided to check out the local scene to find out what actually was happening in the way of jazz.
Joseph, you have the perspective as a longtime musician and a business owner. Mm. Why do you think that is, that there isn't a designated venue for jazz music in Sacramento?
Certainly, this has been tried many times, at least over my experience, which now is about 40 years here in the Sacramento area. I mean, it's not normally a dedicated jazz club. It would be something like a bar or a restaurant. Or not the lobby of a hotel, but, you know, the restaurant area of a hotel that decides to put jazz in on certain nights and things like that. You know, it's a very expensive process. We have to make sure that there's an audience that's willing to support it. We have to make sure that there's musicians around that are also willing to support it and can kind of, you know, galvanize together and kind of make a scene happen. And this is not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. So it kind of takes, you know, some cooperation. Again, it's been up and down. It's been tried. And so we're just doing the best we can. And it's not something that's easy to do anywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. Sacramento is no stranger to this process, but other places have had difficulty as well. So it's just a labor of love, really.
Did you know when you were opening a restaurant that you were going to make a space for live performances, specifically jazz?
Admittedly, no. That was not what we were doing. It's a family Thai restaurant. That was the initial idea for it. And it was only after about a month or so where I said, what can I do to get some more people coming in here enjoying this food? I'll throw a keyboard in the corner and I'll get a vocalist and we'll see what happens. And 80 people decided to show up. And I said, I've got to figure something out here in order to make this work. People want this music. People want to hear it. Performers want a chance to perform someplace. And it can help business as well. So it's all just kind of blossomed from there.
Yeah, Kathy, aside from Twin Lotus Thai, Joseph's Restaurant, I mean, this was just one of several people that you looked into and you profiled. What are some other places that you profiled that have added live jazz and the motivation for doing so?
So in addition to Twin Lotus Thai, and I do think I should say they seem to have the most robust program that I found in town. So good on you, Joe.
Thank you.
I had a very specific criteria and when I was looking to profile the other establishments. What I was looking for were places that offered live jazz at least once a week and on a consistent basis. And the two that I featured were the Sackyard Community Tap House on 33rd Street and Jet's American Grill and Bar, that's in Midtown. Both of these restaurants offer jazz nights once a week, and they've been doing it for more than almost 2 years in both cases, and apparently are really successful at it. So yeah, I found those two. I'm sure there might be others out there, but those were the ones I touched on in my story.
Hmm. So there's obviously like a desire from both a musician, from fans of jazz and even venues that want to have this and make space for it. How did you deeper understand, you know, kind of the gaps in between, Kathy, that Sacramento has faced and to making that a reality?
I'm sorry. What gaps?
Yeah, in between all, like you obviously have, you know, you have the desire for it, and you have venues that or restaurants that or spaces that want to become a venue for it. But there's been a gap. There isn't a designated jazz space for a long time in Sacramento. When you're actually talking to these businesses, you know, did you get a better understanding as to why?
Actually, I didn't really explore that question with them. To be honest, I was just very excited to see what they were doing. And so we mainly talked about how well they were doing with this new effort. Mm. Sure that obviously the pandemic didn't help. That shut down, as we all know, a number of venues that were actually doing jazz, you know, before I pursued the story. So I was just trying to get a handle on what was happening now and how exciting this renaissance is.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to local artists and musicians, just the local art scene, I mean, it was hit so hard during COVID and the pandemic and continues to be that way as well, Joseph. When you're talking to musicians, yourself included, what are you looking for here in Sacramento?
Places to play and audiences that want to listen to and appreciate the music and be a responsive audience and create a scene and have a place where musicians can get together and share musical ideas and share experiences mm-hmm. and play with each other in different configurations and learn from each other. And audiences also want to experience that as well. They have their favorites, but they also appreciate and want to support young musicians that are coming up and what their investigations are all about. So, and people want to create a scene and people want to get out and do mm-hmm. things and they want to be around each other. And that's something that's, you know, fortunately having a comeback yeah. now. I mean, my sort of half answer to the last question did revolve around, yeah, I mean, COVID certainly did not help anything. And prior to that, though, we had definitely people that were creating small nonprofits to try to get jazz mm-hmm. Series going and things like that and trying to find different places to have it. It's an awful lot of work, and it has to be someone that just loves it and is willing to do the work and to work with people. And so that's kind of the story over and over and over and over again, as you see, you know, scenes coming and going and ebbing and flowing, as you discussed.
I go back to you telling me that, you know, it wasn't initially an idea when you opened a Thai restaurant, mm-hmm. which is understandable, mm-hmm. you know, Thai and jazz. But when you did, mm-hmm. you had a good response mm-hmm. and you're not in it alone. You have other businesses and venues and musicians and people mm-hmm. who love jazz, you know, all coming together. That must just feel so encouraging.
Yeah. It feels wonderful, and it certainly helps that the food is good. So if we had good music and people had to somehow stand the food, it wouldn't work, right? So we need to make sure that both parts are working in our case.
Hmm. Can you take us back to, from, decades ago when there was a stronger and more robust jazz scene? I mean, there was a really huge festival. I reported on when it closed or sunsetted in 2017. I mean, at its height, it brought in like 100,000 people over a 3-day weekend.
Yeah. And so just remember that the festival was over a short period of time. It was a 3-day weekend every year. However, a jazz scene does not exist in 3 days a year. We have to keep something that's ongoing and far-reaching and supportive and keeping an audience going. So certainly during that weekend, it was great. And it sort of made Sacramento. Sometimes I talk to people outside of Sacramento. When they think of Sacramento, one thing that comes to mind is jazz, and it's all because of that traditional jazz festival. And other folks have tried. A gentleman named Jim Martinez has tried to do a festival up in Roseville. There was recently that new Hot Jazz and Blues Festival that just happened a couple of weeks ago. So as I said, there's people that are trying. That's what it takes. But, again, as you've discussed, it's an up and down. It's an ebb and flow. It goes, things like radio stations certainly help, to help to promote. And if people are listening to the music on the radio that they enjoy and they say, where can I go listen to this locally and live, then that will support it. I mean, there's all kinds of elements that go into creating a vibrant music scene, let alone jazz, but of any style.
Mm. Kathy, given that you've covered music, the arts, entertainment for much of your career, what stands out to you about, the time that we're in now and what you learned by specifically focusing on live jazz in Sacramento?
I want to share one of the most profound takeaways, actually, while working on this story, was this wonderful multi-generational thing that I see happening out there. And I'm sure that's not only in the jazz arena, but that happened to be what I was looking at in this case. So when I went to these shows, I was continually seeing the older veterans playing right alongside the younger up-and-coming generation of musicians. And it was really very heartwarming. And there was obviously a lot of mentoring going on right now. And I just found that to be really kind of encouraging. And I would just say, I encourage everybody to get out and support what people are doing. The business owners like Joe, who are making a concerted effort to keep this music alive, and all the musicians who work so hard to do what they do. And don't forget to tip them, by the way. That's really important, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Joseph, I saw you nodding along when it comes to, younger generations coming up and this environment. I mean, you're part of that.
It was interesting. The other night we had a show and we had 20 guests come because it was the 85th birthday of one of the family members. But up in front was a high school couple on a date. So, and then of course you've got the boomers and the Gen Xers or whatever you call them that are all interested in jazz for different reasons, and they just like improvised music, people creating music, having the opportunity to drop in someplace and have a nice meal and listen to a show and then go about their evening and do something else. I mean, it's a cool little thing, at least what we've got going, but I definitely support other places like Jets and Sackyard, where I've played many times. I mean, and the mentoring thing is also a big part of it too, because we have young people that are coming up that are studying jazz in universities such as Sac State right here and American River College and other places. We've got our, the generation in my case, folks have been doing it for a while that love to play with the younger musicians, and they look up to us and love to play with us as well. So it's a cool little community, and we appreciate the support.
Well, Joseph, I thank you for creating the space, and Kathy for reporting on it. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.